I'm here with Amanda Coogan at the Blue Coat Gallery. Amanda, you've just done this fantastic performance, and actually, unusually, I've actually performed in it. So once I'm interviewing an artist that I feel I know the work fairly well, can we just talk about these performances that you do, first of all, the conception behind them?
We've literally just come off the stage making the performance, which is this really high-energy performance where it's literally letting go and blah, as you know, and we're all sitting here glowing, let's say, not perspiring at all. So it was really garnering people's energy levels and letting it all blast in a kind of explosion to the last 12 minutes of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the Ode to Joy chorus. So I suppose in my practice, I use the body quite a lot. Up until now, actually, it's been solo performances and my own body. But with this piece of work, it's been a new exploration for me to bring people in and see how the dynamic of me working with them goes and how the energy level that I use in my performance is multiplied, say, by 100, which happened tonight, where I had made this head-banging to Beethoven performance solo myself. Tonight it was multiplied by 100, this kind of energy level that was happening, and it was fantastic. I just want to say
it was very interesting, because basically it was flagged up as a performance and I came along thinking that I was going to watch the performance, and then was asked to sign a piece of paper and still didn't quite realise that I was actually going to be performing in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Now, that means that really the people mainly who were performing were just coming in. Were they just general people?
The majority of people had been involved in the making of the video. I have a video downstairs that I shot in the Philharmonic Hall with 25 performers, and I shot it over 2 weeks, so altogether you would have used 40 performers. And then I had a rehearsal on Monday and one on Wednesday. About 30 people came to those rehearsals, so there was a good glut of people who knew the work a little bit, and I think who carried the people who got cajoled or excited about it and just heard about it today, so that they weren't standing in a crowd of people dancing to Beethoven, not knowing what to do. You could just look at your neighbour and know that it was okay to free the body, or let loose, or jump up and down as you would in your own bedroom or in your own kitchen.
Of course, the performance occurs once, so it's very live, the spotlights are on, there you are, in the midst of it. And then afterwards, it is a video art piece. Mm. Can we talk a little bit about the kind of translation of work to that? Because obviously this is one of the things that historically happens with performance pieces.
Well, I certainly think at this time, 2004, we're in a new wave of performance. So we're all post-70s performers, and much more in tune, I think, with new media. And also much clearer about the use of video and photography within our work. For myself and a lot of my colleagues who use performance as the kind of crux of their work, it flows between either thinking and making a video piece that then works out to be something live, or making something live and then documenting that as the video piece. So really, within that core of the performance in the studio, you have to look at it and say, does this performance work on a flat screen as a video, or will this performance work live? They both need different things. And I certainly would make the distinction between a video, a documentation of a performance, and a performance. The three things are absolutely radically different.
You'll make a distinction here between what happened tonight as live and the documentation of it. How will that then continue to exist, the work tonight?
Tonight. We had some stills photographers out there, but I'm very against coming into a live performance where there's 10 tripods around the place and people are trying to document it. My feeling is, get rid of the documentation. Go try and do that somewhere else. Because the documentation really has to be hit and run, like documentary kind of stuff. And it cannot interfere with the audience participation and involvement within the performance. So I had some people with cameras in their hand, off tripod, just literally snapping, if you know what I mean. So it is very much hit and miss. It is very much of the 70s, as in, you know, some performances in the 70s weren't even documented or were so badly documented. We all know that, and we hear about them, they've become stories and grander or worse than they actually were.
But so this I think did not exist as video at all? This,
No. I feel strongly that sometimes when you have a big tripod with somebody's camera nose sticking in and always taking the best position to see the performance and always needing people to stand away and be out of the way, that it really interferes with the audience involvement and watching of it. So I would much rather take things away and document them properly. Downstairs, I made the film in the Philharmonic, and it really is a video work. It's more like a painting, but with this kind of wild action, this harnessing of this wild hysterical energy in the action. But it's a painting. It's very classically composed, it's very classically lit, except this madness goes on in the middle of it. Whereas the performance, I will structure them very well, but then I let them go.
Can we talk a little bit about the music that you choose?
It came about very organically of my throwing on some music in the studio, as you do, just picking it up and literally rocking on the chair, probably with frustration, and having a look at it and going, hang on, wait a minute, how can we pick up that? And so I really gnawed at the idea for about 6 months and then got up. My process was to video it. So I used the video as a sketchbook a lot of the times within the studio. And then start painting the image. So what should she wear? What should she look like? Where should she go within that frame? And then took it outside. And last year I performed it as part of the Venice Biennale as a solo piece. And actually it was the second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And then I thought, wow, couldn't this be so fantastic with a whole choir? Because when you see the Ninth Symphony, there's this wonderful moment, I think around the third movement, where the whole chorus stands up en masse. They're usually sitting down behind the orchestra, and there's this whoosh where they all stand up, and they don't start singing until the fourth movement. But this whoosh just got me, and I thought, I want to try and see if I can garner that into something else.
Where did you train?
I trained initially as a painter, very traditional painter actually, and then I studied performance. For my postgrad, I studied specifically performance under Marina Abramović. There's a kind of a troop of us who are ex-Marina students, and we exhibit together quite a lot. We're called the International Performance Group, and we're very much new wave performance, coming from the direct line of the 70s. Mothers
and
fathers.
I think that energy absolutely comes out in the work.
Yeah.
You're here with the Independence, you're in the Blue Coat Gallery.
This biennial was a really artist-friendly composition of the biennial. They invited us all over 12 months ago, almost to the day, and brought us around for a week and showed us different things in Liverpool. Almost gave us a guided tour and said, we're not imposing anything, but we would really like you to think about Liverpool and make things site-specifically. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So, of course, we all had 12 months to mull around an idea, and it was such an organic way to do it. And actually, all of the artists have felt this has been a really wonderful process.